Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to do something tonight I hardly ever do. I just don't remember the last time I did this. I'm not going to fight anybody. I'm not going to make any attack on anybody. But I made mention last week about a preacher on the West Coast. I think he's on the radio here. I know he is in this area. Who made some careless statements about the blood of Jesus. And I'm not going to make any attack on him, but I feel like I want you to know what the blood of Jesus is all about. Tonight I want to talk to you, teach to you why the blood saves. Why the blood saves. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. I want you to notice that now. It's been talking about the tabernacle of the wilderness on earth. Now it says Christ is a high priest of a greater and more perfect tabernacle. It means in heaven. Not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We're going to use our Bibles a great deal tonight. And I'm not going to be as preachy as usual, but I do want to show you in the Bible why it is necessary for the blood of Jesus to be shed, and why without that blood you couldn't be saved, and whereby that blood has saving efficacy. How do you like that word? And I don't know what it means, but I heard Brother Stan preach a whole sermon on it. He didn't know what it means either, but it made a good sermon. Everybody said amen. And if a child misbehaves, please take him out, because we're going to follow tonight in our study a lot of scripture, and I want you to follow me very, very carefully as we study together on the subject, the importance of the blood of Christ and the fact that it does save. Father, bless our study tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. Teach us what we ought to know. No, teach us what the Bible teaches. Truth of the Word of God tonight. And help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Give us attentiveness to understand what thou dost teach us in the Word. Help us to listen carefully. Amen. Now, I'm doing something else tonight I don't do often. And that is, I have a hard time preaching a sermon or teaching a Bible lesson that doesn't have a practical application. I sometimes do, but not often. Tonight, I'm teaching just for teaching's sake. And I have no practical application at all. I'm not one of those who likes. I don't scuffle over trivials. I try as best I can to get along with preacher brethren. I try to make peace instead of war. I try to preach what I believe, but I do not bring personality into it. Nor am I going to do that tonight. However, there comes a time when the difference is not trivial. I have, for example, tonight I have with me a copy of a page of Bob Jones University's Faith for the Family, and it's quoting a well-known pastor. Thank God he's not a Baptist, but a well-known pastor on the West Coast is saying, It was not Jesus bleeding, but his dying. It was death. It was his death, not his blood. Says the shedding of blood has nothing to do. But that goes on to say. Then, this same preacher was written and asked to give his side of it. In other words, Bob Jones University had put his name here, and so he was written and asked to give his side, and I have a letter here with his signature on it. This is actually a letter from him, and I'm reading what he wrote as of May 12 this year, in other words, less than a month ago. Says, it was not the blood of Jesus that saves. That's I'm reading here. It was not the blood of Jesus that saves. It says, yes, the blood of Christ is precious, but as precious as it is, it could not save. Now, other statements like that. Now, on what he says is that it's the death of Jesus that saves and not the blood of Jesus that saves. Now, on surface, that may seem to be straining a gnat and swallowing a camel, but you won't think that when I get through tonight teaching you the Bible about the importance of the blood of Christ. Now, to lay the foundation, I've got to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to follow me very carefully. This, you know, we're saying, what? By the way, this same preacher said, it said the blood of Christ is no, it said it was his death for sin that saves, not his blood. He says because of some traditional hymns, there's an emotional attachment to the blood, but doesn't save. Well, we sing there's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, the blood of Christ, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. What can wash away my sins, they wrote. See, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He says in his letter here, he says that his is the historic Baptist position. No, not a Baptist position, but Bible-believing position. No, historic Christianity has always believed that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, there's got to be a reason for that. You know, a lot of you folks, you know the blood saves, but why? You somebody said, well, the blood of Jesus is squirted out of his body? What's that got to do with salvation? Well, you know it has something to do with it, but you don't know what it is, and so you'll know in about 2 hours exactly what it is. Now then, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. And I, by the way, I have no axes to grind. I'm going to teach you the Bible tonight. I'm not going to try to hurt anybody. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Now, this is the gospel that Paul preached. Now, let's see what that gospel is. By which ye are saved. Now, I want you to notice that. By which ye are saved. Whatever this gospel is, it's the gospel that saves. All right? Look at verse number 3, and we find what it is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That isn't all of it. That isn't all the gospel. If you simply teach that Jesus died in your place, you haven't preached all the gospel. It said, and verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, what's the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel by which you're saved. It says right here, by which you're saved, the gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just the death of Christ, but the burial of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Now, we're going to go into that over and over and over again. Now, let's go to the Bible and let's find what the Bible says about the blood of Christ. Now, you're in 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Read it out loud, if you please. Ready? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. All right, now look at me. Christ, our what? All right, so Christ is the Passover. Christ is our Passover. Now, in order to find out what the Passover is, we've got to go back to Exodus chapter 12. So go back to Exodus chapter 12. Now, use your Bibles all the way through tonight, and let me have your attention and your Bible open and read with me. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And verse 1, page 83. Now, Christ, in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, Christ is our what? Christ is our what? One more time. Christ our? Is sacrificed for us. He's our Passover. Now, if He is our Passover, then we've got to find out what the Passover is, because Christ is our Passover. All right, look at verse 1 of chapter 12 of Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year. This corresponds with our month of April, by the way. Verse 3, Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of the month, that's about our April 10th, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And look down in verse number 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep, or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall... Now, look at me for a minute. They shall kill it. But now, how are they going to kill it? They could club it to death. They could smother it. They could burn it. You see, killing it is not the answer by itself. It's supposed to die. But suppose they smothered the lamb. Suppose that they choked the lamb. Suppose that they burned the lamb. Suppose they beat the lamb till it died. See, all of those would have killed the lamb. But that's not enough. The killing of the lamb is not enough. All right, that's the Passover lamb. What is Christ? Christ our what? Passover. All right, is killing Christ enough? No, it took more than that. No. If Christ dying for us is enough, then He could have been choked to death. He could have been smothered. See? No, no, I have more than that. All right, let's see what else happened. Now look at verse number 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now look at verse number 12. Now we're skipping some because of time. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Didn't say when I see a dead lamb, I'll pass over you. It says when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, Christ is our what? Christ is our what? All right, so it's got to be a what? A lamb. And he's got to be a male lamb. And he's got to be a male lamb without blemish. And he must be examined. For 4 days they examined him to prove he was without blemish. For 33 years they examined our Savior. And his enemies said, I find no fault in him. You see, man, it wanted to find fault more than anybody else. I find no fault in him. So then he must be a lamb. That's why Jesus, Isaiah said, he was led as a lamb before the shearers is dumb. You see, a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before shearers is dumb. What was he? He was a lamb. He was what? He was a male lamb. He was what else? He was without blemish. What else? He died. That isn't all. To be the Passover lamb, his blood must be applied. Now, let's suppose that here's a Jewish family. And let's suppose that Jewish family had taken their lamb, by the way, a male lamb,
a lamb without blemish. They had observed that lamb for 4 days and found him to be a lamb without blemish. And suppose that they had taken a blanket or some kind of skin and grabbed the lamb and put it over his mouth like that, and the lamb would have suffocated to death. Now, when the death angel passed over, would that have been all necessary? No. That lamb's blood had to be applied. It had to be applied on the doorpost and lintels of the house. Now, somebody said, "Brother the house, that was simply so the angel of the Lord, when he came by, so God could see that the lamb had been killed." Oh, that's silly. You could have taken some blood from the lamb next door. Huh? God knew. God could see the lamb. If the blood was only to show the lamb had been slain, God, the same God who could pass by the front door, front porch door of the house, could pass by the back alley too. No, the truth is, Christ our Passover. So, let's suppose this. Let's suppose that here is a family that they don't smother their lamb, they don't club their lamb to death, they don't choke their lamb, they kill it, and they shed his blood. Well, let's suppose they don't put the blood on the doorpost. Now, they obeyed God. God said, choose a lamb. They did. God said, a lamb without blemish. Without blemish. A male. And keep him up and prove he's without blemish. They kept him up, proved without blemish. And then they killed him and left his blood there where they killed him. Now, when the death angel passed over, would he have taken the firstborn of the household? Yes or no? Now, if the death is all that's necessary, then if the lamb was killed, and if the blood... spilled was always necessary. No, the blood had to be applied on the doorpost of the house. When I see the blood, not when I see the carcass, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You say, why you make such an issue out of this? Because if you're not washed in the blood, you're not going to go to heaven when you die. You see? I mean, the blood saves. I'll show you some scriptures after a while. The blood saves. And the blood of that lamb, as I show you after a while, just as much a part of the salvation of the soul as the death of that lamb is. Now then, let's look another. Let's look again. First, we found that Christ is our what? Our Passover. Now, to be our Passover, he had to be a what? Lamb. What sex? Male. Without what? And he had to be what? Killed, kept, and then killed. And then his blood had to be what? Applied on the doorpost. Now, if he's our Passover, all that has to be done. So, that was the Passover. Now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. Page 1197. Read that verse with me, please, out loud. Ready? And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So Christ not only is the Passover, but he's the what? The atonement. He's the what? Atonement. Say it again. The what? Atonement. Now, we're going to go to the Day of Atonement. Now, so far, we've learned that Christ is our first, our what? Passover. And to be the Passover lamb, the lamb had to die and have his blood applied. Is that right? All right, but now he's more than that. He's also our atonement. Now, to find out at our atonement, let's go to the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. Turn to Leviticus, chapter 16. Now, we haven't got time to read all about this, all these rituals, but I just want to pick out some key places. Up at the top of that, in your Scofield Bible, it says the Day of what? Atonement. Happened once a year, and look at it now. Then shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Now look down to verse number 6. We'll see what he did with that bullock. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. Look at verse 14. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Now, the atonement... let me have this microphone on right here, please.
All right. Now, follow me very carefully. Brother John... No, you can't do that. Just take that... Brother Lively, take that chair and put it right there. Would you please? That empty chair. That's good. Right there. That's good. All right, fine. Now then, let me have that chair right here, would you please? We're going to let this platform represent the tabernacle. Now, only two places I want you to notice tonight. One is out here in the court of the tabernacle. That's the place where the lamb was slain. That's the brazen what? The brazen, say it, brazen altar. Now, on the Day of Atonement, a bullock was slain on this brazen altar. Now, there's a curtain right here that leads into a good-sized room, well, 15 by 30 room. And there are three pieces of furniture in that room. Doesn't matter what they are for our study tonight. Then you go on to the second curtain right here called the inner veil. And the second curtain, inside that is a second room, 15 by 15. So here's a room 15 by 15. Here's a room 15 by 30. And that's out in the courtyard out there. All right? So here is the altar. And then we're going through that first room in the tabernacle. And here's the second room. Inside that second room is what was called the mercy seat, which was the top of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, nobody could go inside. Look at me now. Nobody could go inside that room but one man. That was the high priest. And he could only go once a year. Only one day a year could he go. Now, on that day, that's what we're talking about, the Day of Atonement a while ago. Now, who's our atonement? Jesus is our what? Atonement. He's also our what? Passover. All right, now, to be our... the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take the blood, the first that lamb was killed. Now, the blood of that lamb was placed in a basin. And that blood was taken by the high priest into the first room, and then into the second room where God's very presence dwelt above that mercy seat. And he would take seven times and sprinkle blood on that mercy seat, and that blood on that mercy seat was there in the presence of God's Shekinah glory, the presence of God himself. Now listen to me, folks. If that blood had just been left out here, not a single Jew would have had one sin forgiven. It's not the blood at the foot of the altar, it's the blood on the mercy seat. You see? So, it isn't just the fact that the lamb died, or the bullock died. If the bullock had died and shed his blood, that would not have forgiven one sin. But that blood had to be taken by the high priest inside the Holy of Holies and sprinkled seven times on the mercy seat. The same blood that was shed out there on that altar is now sprinkled here on this mercy seat. When God saw it, God said, "Sins atoned for," and the Day of Atonement was over. Now follow me carefully. The Bible says Jesus was our what? And what else was he? Atonement. So if he was our atonement, when John the Baptist pointed to him, he said, "Behold the what? Lamb of God." So what was he? He was our sacrifice on this altar out here. This is a picture of Calvary. But ladies and gentlemen, the blood on this altar out here will not get us to heaven. The blood has got to get to the heavenly mercy seat. Bible says that the earthly tabernacle was a type of the heavenly tabernacle. And just as the blood of that lamb had to get in there on the Holy of Holies mercy seat, even so, the real blood of the real lamb must get to the real mercy seat at the real presence of God. And brother, if the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is not tonight sprinkled on the mercy seat in the glory world, you and I are of all men most miserable. That's the only hope we've got. Now follow me carefully. Jesus was our lamb. But there were two... Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. What's the gospel? Death. Resurrection of Christ. That's the gospel. Death, burial, resurrection. So we have to have all three in our Passover and all three in our atonement. If Christ is our atonement, He has to die. Now, I want to start that. Jesus was two things for us. He was our sacrifice who shed His blood, and He was our high priest who took His blood into the presence of God Himself. Now, I'm going to be the high priest, not Jesus now. I'm going to be the high priest. And I haven't got time to go into how He changed His garments and laid aside. I haven't got time for that. But all I'm talking about tonight is the blood. The high priest took that blood in the basin once a year, walked inside on the Day of Atonement, sprinkled that blood seven times on the mercy seat. Now, Jesus was the Lamb who died. But He also was the high priest. Now, if He was the Lamb that died, now this is why Jesus must have been raised from the dead. See, as our sacrifice, He died. But good night, there's our high priest. He's on the altar. He's dead. Well, how can we get the blood in there? Only the high priest can go inside the Holy of Holies. We've got to get Him up. And so after 3 days and three nights, He rose from the dead. And He who was our Lamb, who died on the cross, rose. Why? Because He had to be our high priest too. Now you listen to me. Jesus as the sacrifice is not the total Savior. Unless Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, pleading our case tonight as our high priest, we're still not saved. Three parts of the gospel. First the what? Death, then the. Now, why was the resurrection necessary? Because the high priest, Jesus, had to be raised from the dead so He could become our high priest and take the blood in the... Of course, this is old hat for most of you folks who've been here for years. But remember, when Jesus was raised from the dead, He saw Mary Magdalene. And she said, Rabboni, which is say Master. He said, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Touch me not. Why? Because the high priest, from the time He took that blood and walked to that mercy seat, nobody could touch Him. And if anybody did touch Him, the sacrifice was invalid. Jesus died on the cross as our Lamb. That's all this preacher here says is necessary, but he's full of prune. I mean, if he's right, then the Lamb on the altar is all that's necessary. But blessed be God, we've got to get that blood in there. And to get that blood in there, we've got to have a resurrected Savior because He's our high priest. So Jesus, why couldn't Mary Magdalene touch Him? Because He was on His way with the blood to heaven. To sprinkle His blood on the heavenly mercy seat in the presence of Jehovah God Himself. In the heavenly tabernacle, not made with hands. And Mary could not touch Him. Now, wait a minute. He came back a little while later. And when the disciples were in the upper room. And Thomas came in and said, I don't believe. I won't believe it until I see the nails, the nail prints. And Jesus said, reach hither thy hands and touch me. Now, why did He say to Thomas, touch me? Because since He said to Mary Magdalene, don't touch me, He had been to heaven, He had sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, and had come back, and now they could touch Him. So He was our atonement. Now, let's take this. Let's suppose, are you following me? Let's suppose all we have is that Lamb there on that altar. Were the people's sins atoned for? Yes or no? No. God's presence was not out there in the courtyard. God's presence was inside the Holy of Holies. And God said, until the blood. That's why when Christmas Evans died, the young preachers gathered around him and said, tell us, give us a word of advice to young preachers before you die. And the old preacher lifted up himself on his bed, which is his deathbed, and said, young men, preach the blood in the basin. What does he say?
That blood there at the cross is not enough. Listen, the very blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross tonight is on the heavenly mercy seat in the presence of God. And every time you and I sin, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And every time you and I sin, Jesus says, Father, there's the blood of Jesus Christ. There's my blood. It keeps on cleansing them from all sin. I'm not trying to be picky. I'm simply saying, you don't get that blood in the mercy seat, you won't go to heaven. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Now, if all Jesus did was die for us, no need for the resurrection. That's what it means. Well, there's so many scriptures. Turn to Romans chapter 5 again. Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. Romans 5:9. Boy, here it is in black and white. Much more then, being now justified by His blood. Now look at me a minute. Justified by His blood. The Bible says that the resurrected Christ justified us. What does it mean? It means that His blood was applied only after He was raised from the dead, became our high priest. Justified by His blood. There it is. Now, say all you want to say, we're not saved by the blood, but it says right there, we're justified by His blood. Because that's not what it means. Well, that's what it says. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now look at me. Somebody says, there it is. You live like Jesus, you get saved. That's not what it's saying. It's saying we were. Okay. If you keep this on, help me. We were sinners. Where do you come as a sinner? You come to Calvary. And so, what happened? By His death, we were reconciled. We were brought back to... I may just do this every week. I like this. I know how Tim Lee feels now. He's really got it made. Now, reconciled means getting back together. It does not mean staying back together. The death of Christ got us back together. But to keep us back together, we are kept saved by His life. What life? The life at the right hand of the Father. But what in the name of common sense can Jesus do at the right hand of the Father if He doesn't have the blood to show He died for us? So Jesus, we were reconciled. We were sinners away from God. We came to Calvary at the cross where I first saw the light. And we trusted Christ and got reconciled by His death. But I got reconciled to Christ 48 years ago by His death. But for 48 years, I've been kept saved by His life. Which means He rose from the dead and took His blood to the heavenly mercy seat and sprinkled His blood there. And Jesus Christ, sitting on the right hand of the Father, keeps on cleansing me from all sin by His blood on the mercy seat. That's why the blood saves. That's why you sing justifiably so. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, that's two things Jesus is. We found in 1 Corinthians 5:7, He's our what? Our Passover. Passover, they had to have a what? A lamb. What kind? What sex? What kind of condition? Without what? Blemish. And He had to be kept up and examined. And then He had to be what? Killed. Then His blood had to be taken into the what? Say it. Holy of Holies. By thee whom? High priest. And sprinkled on thee mercy seat. And unless the blood... what's the matter with me? I'm wrong here. I got the whole thing wrong. It's our Passover. The blood had to be shed, and then it had to be put on the doorpost. No blood on the doorpost. You can kill 1,000 lambs, but blood's not on the doorpost. Your firstborn is going to be killed. You know what that doctrine is? That doctrine that we're saved by His death only
is nothing but Roman Catholic doctrine. It's crucifix stuff. Yeah, crucifix. Let's get us a crucifix and rub it. If I wear anything around my neck, it'll not be a crucifix. It'll be an empty tomb. Because the crucifix, as it were, what it represents, only reconciles me to God, but the empty tomb keeps me with God. I am kept saved by His life. Reconciled by His death, kept saved by His life. Hebrews 7:25, He ever what? Liveth to make what? Intercession for me. That's the life He's talking about in Romans 5:10. So two things He had to be, the Lamb and the High Priest. Now follow me carefully. Look at me now. Jesus is our what? Passover. And the lamb had to be killed and the blood put on the what? Doorpost. No doorpost blood, no salvation. Jesus is our what? Not only our Passover, but our what? Atonement. The lamb killed on the altar is not all of it. That's necessary, but not all of it. The blood had to be taken inside the Holy of and sprinkled on thee by the high priest. Jesus our lamb. Jesus our resurrected high priest. Very interesting. In the book of Revelation, over and over again, He's called the Lamb. And I saw the Lamb. I saw the Lamb. I saw the Lamb. But it's very, very interesting that in the epistles, not much is said about Him as Lamb. Paul speaks about Him in all Hebrews, most of Hebrews, High Priest. High Priest. High Priest. High Priest. When you were unsaved, you needed a lamb. As soon as you got that lamb, you needed that blood sprinkled on the Holy of Holies, the resurrected Christ. Let's go to something else. We won't turn to it because of time. We, last Sunday morning, took the Lord's Supper. What's the first thing we ate? First thing we ate. Boy, that gave it away. Guess how many apples I got in this sack? You can have both of them. After you do that, guess what I got in this bag of oranges here. But what we eat first. Okay, what we take first. Took the what? The bread. Why? That represents what of Christ? Body. And His body what? Was broken. It died. He died. So the first thing we remembered last Sunday morning was the death of Christ. That's necessary. But then after we got through with that, we drank the juice. And that represents the what? The blood of Christ. So the blood of Christ is the resurrected Lord. He took His blood as the high priest to the mercy seat. So last Sunday morning, in the bread, we celebrated His death. In the juice, we celebrated His resurrection. Let's go a step further. Turn to Leviticus chapter 14. I want you to notice the cleansing of the leper. And leprosy, of course, a symbol of sin. Leviticus chapter 14. Now, the outstanding type of sin in all the Bible is leprosy. And look at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel. What does that represent? Jesus, our sacrifice, killed in a what? Talk to me, in a what? Earthen vessel. He was clothed upon with the flesh. All right? And as for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird into the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and let the living bird loose into an open field. I won't get you involved. Okay, here are two birds right here. And so here are these birds. All right, one bird is going to be what? Going to be killed. Just kill that bird. But did we smother him? No. No, we shed his blood. Now then, we take the second bird, the living bird. Now this bird's dead. He's gone. He's in eternity. That is maker. Now we take the second bird. What do? We take the blood of the first bird and we dip that second bird down in the blood of the first bird and let him go into an open field. What does that picture? First bird pictures the death of Christ. But that isn't enough. You've got to have the resurrection of Christ. And that bird wasn't let go in the open field till he had the blood with him. So the first bird pictures the Lamb. Second bird pictures the high priest taken off to heaven with the blood. Every time a leper was cleansed, the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. But the purpose, the great purpose of the resurrection of Christ was because we needed more than a lamb to save us. We needed a high priest to save us. And the high priest needed to take the blood, the presence of God. And that's why you have that picture. Time is going by too swiftly, but let me say this. Remember the consecration of the high priest, of the priest? When they consecrated the priest, what they did? When the priest was consecrated, they took the blood of a sacrifice. And the first thing they did was touch the lobe of his right ear with that blood. And then they touched the thumb of his right hand with that blood. And then they touched the big toe of his right foot with that blood. Why? Because the blood was necessary for the priest to be anointed and consecrated. Why the lobe of the right ear? Because the gospel of Christ is first heard. It's not seen in a play. It's not seen on a movie. It's heard. It's heard. Second, it's the thumb of the right hand. It's taken. And third, the big toe of the right foot, it's carried to other people. But I'm saying that a priest couldn't even be consecrated without the blood. So the death, if that's all it was, Christ is not our Passover because his blood's not applied. If the death of Jesus is all it took to save us, he's not our atonement. Because the blood is not at the mercy seat in heaven. If the death is all that it takes to save us, we didn't need to drink the juice last Sunday morning. Let's just take the bread. But it takes more than the bread. It takes the juice. Because it takes more than the broken body. It takes the shed blood. But not only the shed blood, but the applied blood of Christ. When you put your faith in Christ as your Savior and trust Him to pay the penalty for your sin, what you do not realize so often, and I think, by the way, when I win a soul to Christ, I always mention the resurrection, always do. Always tell the person, Christ paid your penalty for sin, after 72 hours rose again for our justification. Why did He rise? He rose because He had to take His blood to the presence of our God. And He, as our high priest, is constantly reminding God, the Father. Look at Hebrews chapter number 9 once again, please. We're back where we started now. Hebrews chapter number 9. And I'm not teaching you a new thing tonight. I'm teaching you what all fundamentalists believe. Hebrews chapter 9. A fellow make fun of personal soul winning. He'll make fun of the gospel sooner or later. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 11. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. All right, so in heaven there is a greater tabernacle, and Hebrews tells us that the one on earth is a pattern of the one in heaven. I mean, the one in heaven is a pattern of the one on earth. It's a pattern after it. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, such as were offered in the tabernacle. But by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Well, okay, now follow me carefully. He redeemed us to himself by his death. But how did he give us eternal redemption? By being the high priest. See? As the Lamb, he paid the penalty to get us back to God as the high priest. Eternal redemption. What is that? That is simply saying to God, look at this blood, dear Father, on the mercy seat, and be reminded, I took care of paying it. Now, the penalty he paid was once for all was necessary to satisfy the justice of God, but the blood had to be shed in the presence of God so Jesus, the high priest, could sit on the right hand of God, constantly reminding him. That's what it means in 1 John 1:7. We walk in the light as he is the light. We have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us, and that's in the durative or linear tense, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Keeps on cleansing us from all sin. At the cross where I first saw the light. at the mercy seat where I walk in the light, where I stay in the light. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. That's right. But up in the glory land there stands a mercy seat, and the blood of that cross has been taken by the high priest to that mercy seat. Every time the justice of God looks down and sees me sin, and every time that God lifts his sickle of judgment, Jesus says, put it down, Father. Put it down. Why? What he does? Jesus takes your sin. He takes your sin and slides it underneath the blood. Sin's already under there. He slides it underneath the blood. And the Father said, where does sin go? I can't even see it. Yeah. But see, you better be thankful Jesus is the high priest. You need a Savior. You need a Lamb. Oh, yes, you need a Lamb. Yeah. But you also need the high priest. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter number 3. Verse number 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That's it. Faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Sins that are past. Why? Under the blood. Through the forbearance of God. Leviticus 17 verse 11, we'll not turn to it, but Leviticus 17 verse 11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that's why that Jesus' blood was shed, every drop of it was shed. Not spilled. It wasn't uh-oh. It was on purpose. It wasn't spilled. It's poured. Why? Because every drop of life went forth from him. You recall when the Bible speaks about his blood, it says there came forth both blood and water. Why? Because when the heart is ruptured, I mean the muscle called the heart is ruptured, it causes when a person has his, if a person dies because of the heart rupturing, it causes the blood that is drained from his body to have both blood and water in it. And Jesus died literally because his heart was broken. And in so doing, he shed his blood. And in shedding his blood, he became the Lamb. That's the death. But the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So the blood shed, that's part of the gospel, but not all of it. The resurrection is the last part of the gospel. That our high priest ever liveth to make intercession for us, because he entered into the tabernacle not made with hands in the heavens with his own precious blood. Now I want to close with this, and I want you to follow me very carefully. Paul said in Hebrews,
that it's a dangerous thing to count the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. Now, didn't say to count it a wicked thing. It's not talking about wicked. It's talking about unholy. Good, but unholy. Nice, but not holy. It says, of how much sorer punishment will they receive? Who counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. Not that they make fun of the blood. Not,
I don't believe that old gory stuff.
No, not that. Just say, it's nice, but it's not necessary. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. He's our Passover. In order for Him to be our Passover, the blood must be applied. He's our atonement. In order for Him to be our atonement, the blood must be applied by the high priest in the Holy of Holies. He's our Lord's Supper. Not only His death in the broken body, but His resurrection in the blood. Not only the bread, but the juice. He's the one who cleanses our sins as a leper is cleansed. And even in the cleansing of the leper, two birds, not one. One bird wouldn't do. You've got to have one bird to die, another bird to take the blood in the sky, representing Jesus going to the presence of the Father and sprinkling His blood on the heavenly mercy seat. And you say, why do you make such a big issue out of this? Because it's a big thing. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. If Jesus only died for our sins, then Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 gave us too much gospel. Folks, Buddha died. Confucius died. Popes died. But only Jesus was raised. You see. And theologically, doctrinally, the reason He was raised, the great reason He was raised, is to keep us saved for our justification. So God could declare us righteous and holy as He sees not our sins, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. One illustration, I'm through. Remember how the Jews in the Bible days went down to the river to bathe, pool of Siloam and places like that, to bathe? It's going to be a bucket now. This is a bucket. The Jew goes down to the river to bathe. He takes a bath. Now he's got to walk home. Nothing of his person touches the earth on the way home but his feet. His feet come in contact with the earth. So he takes him up as he bathes in the pool of Siloam. He then takes him a bucket or a bottle and takes of that very water of the pool of Siloam that just bathed him and takes it back to his house with him. Why? Because his feet come in contact with the world. And so he takes that same pool of Siloam and cleanses his feet because of its contact with the world. You and I came to Calvary. God saved us. We were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, the shedding of His blood. But that same precious blood that saved us once and for all, that same precious blood from that fountain, there's still blood that keeps on saving us because we come in contact with the world and we sin. But that blood keeps on cleansing us from all sin. So we were reconciled to God by His death, being much more, after being reconciled to God by His death, much more we shall be saved by His life. The life that caused Him to become the Lamb and then to rise after 3 days and three nights as the high priest. Take the blood in the mercy seat and become our Passover, our atonement. so that he could fulfill the righteous and holy demands of a just God. And that's why we sing, there is a fountain filled with blood, sing it, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty. Thank God today that he was my lamb. But thank God that death could not keep him, the grave could not hold him, sin could not conquer him. But he rose as my high priest.